Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing shrinking your mortgage payment, what to do with expiring travel vouchers, and free food.
Food. Who doesn't want free food? It takes me back to college when I signed up for a credit card to get that free pizza. But we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But this is our Friday Flight episode where we break down some of the different stories that we saw in the news this week and specifically discuss how it pertains to our money, our personal finances. I'm excited to get to all of our stories today, Joel.
All right, but before we get to that, I got a frugal or cheap for you.
I love frugal or cheap.
There's actually another one that we're going to talk about later on in the episode too, but this one is a personal one because on Disney Plus, there's a newish movie that they've got right now called Maya and the Last Dragon.
Yep. And was it Maya or is it Raya?
Oh, Raya. That's right.
It's Maya the Bee, Raya and the Dragon.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So
remember Maya the Bee back in the day?
I don't think so.
It's like a kids, cartoon. She's a bee. She flies around.
I don't think I ever watched that one.
Maya the Bee.
But if that one's free, I'll watch that one instead because this one costs...
Because Raya the Dragon.
This one's $30, man. That's what...
I saw that Disney's, up there on Disney Plus.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to charge for this new flick. And my girls, they're flipping around on Disney Plus and they see this one. They're like, this looks cool. Dad, can we watch this one? And I'm like... No, that costs $30. Am I being...
And they're like, Dad, stop being cheap.
I mean, they really do want to watch it. And, it gets a 94 on Rotten Tomatoes. So, I'm like, all right, nice. it's probably a decent movie.
Critics or audience?
I think that was the critics, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, nicely reviewed. But I think it's going to have to get like a 193 for me to be able to spend $30 on it. But so I basically shut them down. And, I told them if they want to pay their own money, they can. But that's a lot of money for these two little girls to scrounge up. So, what's your take? Am I being frugal or am I being cheap by avoiding the $30 movie?
Dude, there's no way that we would pay that. I mean, $30, maybe if all of our girls got together and pooled their money together, maybe they could rent it for the $30. But that's just a lot of money for a rental, Like a few bucks, sure. I'll spend a few bucks for a rental. Like it makes me think of just like renting a movie back in the day from Redbox, Like that's it's something that you can stomach. And we actually rented some movies recently. I mean, we rented all the Hobbit movies, right? So we read through the story and so the girls were kind of like we actually kind of pushed the envelope as to whether or not these were movies that they could handle, that they could watch because it was a little more grown-up-ish. But we rented those and I was happy to do that. But yeah, $30 for a single movie. So yeah, I think I'm going to have to side with you, dude. It is a frugal move, in my opinion, not a cheap move.
All right, well, if they push back too hard on me, I'm going to send them your way and make you explain it to them. I'll explain it to them.
$30, way too much money.
It is. I understand, obviously, with movie theaters being shut down.
Yes,
That's why it's happening.
Exactly.
And I understand that. It's a new movie and they need to make their money and some people are going to spend that. That's fine. I'm just not going to be one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one thing to compete with rentals because if you look at it from a rental standpoint, that's way too much money. But if you compare it to taking the whole family to go and see a movie, well, $30 actually kind of seems like a deal.
Yeah.
It seems like a bargain. And if that's the market they're trying to tap into, I understand it. It makes sense. And I might even be willing to if it was like a story or something that the girls already knew where they're just something that they're looking forward to. But, if you're just sitting there kind of flipping through Disney Plus looking for something new to watch, that's not the kind of mindset that I would be willing to pay $30 just to have some entertainment.
All right. Well, let's move on, Matt, to the Friday Flight, the sampling of stories we found interesting this week. Let's talk about freebies right now real quick. And
free food. Let's launch into it.
Let's get it. So participating Krispy Kreme locations will give you a free donut every day for the rest of the year. If you've been vaccinated. And since Georgia just opened up vaccines to everyone as of yesterday, looks like we could score a bunch of free donuts, buddy.
Yeah, it's too bad that the closest Krispy Kreme to our house, which is the historical one that's actually owned by Shaq, like Shaquille O'Neal. It burned down last month. And so that's a huge bummer because, dude, we've talked about this on the show before, but Krispy Kreme, way better than Dunkin' Donuts.
That was a great location.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know it burned down until you told me, and that made me really sad.
Yeah, it was in the news. And actually, I think the reports, the investigation showed that it was arson. So somebody, presumably a Dunkin' Donuts fan, maybe was upset about Krispy Kreme. I don't know. But
it can't be somebody with a vendetta against Shaq because nobody dislikes like Shaq. That guy's the man.
He is the greatest. It makes me think of when he was on SportsCenter and he fell off the stage. you remember that video?
No.
Oh, dude, I'll share it with you. We'll share it with our listeners.
We'll post it in the show notes.
So funny. He like stood up and got tripped up on the cords under the desk. When big guys fall like that, it ain't pretty.
Dude, Shaq came up out with a rap album when we were in middle school, and I totally bought it. And he also had a video game. Like, I'm a huge Shaq fan. So also, too, Matt, there's a brewery in Ohio, Market Garden, that's giving away almost free beer. Well, not free, but 10 cents a beer for the first 2021 vaccinated folks.
2021.
That enter the facility. So I think we're going to see more of these like promos for people who get vaccinated. And so, yeah, keep your eyes peeled for free stuff out there, you know, once you get the jab in the arm.
Yeah, I'm all about that. And, you know, let's stick with a free stuff theme here for a second. And let's do another frugal or cheap. Would you, Joel, would you change your name to Salmon, or for it to include salmon, in order to score some free food?
It depends on how much free food, because I would change my name if it was like unlimited free barbecue from my favorite local spot.
Oh my gosh. Like, I think I would. Yeah, I would. I definitely would do that.
I would change my name to Suzanne or anything. Like, it doesn't matter.
Even just one free meal a month for the rest of your life, I would totally include brisket in my name, right? Or pork or something like that. Well, that's actually what folks in Taiwan have been doing. 150 people have changed their name to take advantage of a free sushi promotion that this small restaurant chain launched. Basically, if your name has salmon in it, you get an all-you-can-eat sushi meal with five of your friends. And say some government officials were none too happy with the barrage of name change requests that they received. But yeah, this is a total frugal or cheap question for folks out there. I think if I was younger, I would totally do it. Like, if I was in college, like, it takes me back to, it makes me think about like signing up for a credit card and getting a free pizza. A credit card, by the way, which I handled responsibly. Even back then in college, I knew that was money I was going to have to pay back at some point. But if I was in college and they're like, hey, we're running this promotion, if you legally change your name to include something, I totally would do it. But now, you know, now that I'm a bona fide grown up, like, I don't have the time for that, dude.
Yeah.
Like, well, I feel like it's a lot of hassle to change your name.
Like you said, if it was a recurring free meal, if it was like one a week for years to come, I'd be like, yeah, I'd be more likely to consider it.
Yeah.
But if it's like one time only, I'm not changing my name for that. No, I'm not going through the hassle.
Too much work for so little reward for me.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's move on, Matt. There are a lot of people that are trying to figure out what they do with expiring travel vouchers, right? There were a lot of travel vouchers given out last year in the spring and the summer for folks who weren't going to be able to take their trip like normal. And there are billions of dollars in vouchers, and the expiration date on those vouchers is quickly approaching. And so a lot of folks just aren't sure what to do, especially if they're still uncomfortable traveling. And that was a subject that the Wall Street Journal covered this week. Some of the airlines are working with folks and they're extending the expiration date on those travel vouchers, which is nice. Other airlines are even refunding them for the value of the voucher, like giving cash instead of making you keep that voucher to travel.
Which is very nice.
Which is incredibly generous. And others, though, aren't being so kind, which means if you have one of those soon-to-be useless vouchers, you really need to stand up for yourself. And you need to push back if you're being stonewalled by one of the airlines.
Yeah. The best thing you can do is call customer service directly. Ask kindly. You can, you know, detail the circumstances for why maybe you still aren't comfortable traveling, or, you know, why maybe that you're completely unable to, as, you know, like a lot of countries, like you can't actually fly into some, you know, different countries.
That's true. A lot of countries still won't allow Americans to visit.
Exactly. Yeah, and you can also fill out a complaint form with the Department of Transportation if the airline that you're having an issue with won't budge. It's not fun to deal with, you know, some of these major airline customer service divisions much of the time, but you know, don't let that initial no get you down. Just keep pressing until they make things right. And another sort of easy path to take too is, if you know you're thinking about traveling anyway, go ahead and book that travel, but just make sure that you're aware of the terms. Make sure the expiration of those vouchers doesn't mean that you have to travel by that date. Obviously, if you have to book before that expiration date, that might be a little bit easier than to book and then actually have to physically travel before that expiration date.
Yeah.
Know the terms.
If they can at least be flexible on that, that can allow you to book a trip that's, you know, months in the future.
Yeah, later
still
this summer.
Yeah, exactly. Or in the fall. And a lot of folks are going to feel more comfortable traveling then, of course. And there are going to be a lot more destinations, hopefully, open to Americans traveling by August, September, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, let's talk about real estate a little bit. We upset some of our real estate agent listeners the other day. A couple weeks ago, we discussed what you and I believe is a need for clearer compensation methods in the industry. The traditional 3% to each agent model just isn't in the best interest of consumers, and stats show that there are a lot of buyers who have no idea how their agent is compensated. And really, in what other industry besides healthcare is that the case where you don't know the amount of money you're forking over for the service you're getting? You know, we talked about sites like Redfin that are starting to make realtor pay more transparent, which I really appreciate. I think it's really helpful. And I think we're going to see more and more transparency happening in the real estate industry. There's another website I stumbled upon recently. I think I actually got a mailer in my mailbox and I was like, what's this? It's called listwithclever.com. It's another site that's trying to lower the costs of buying and selling a home. And two, Matt, there was an interesting stat in the Wall Street Journal this week. It turns out that there are more realtors than there were homes listed in January. So the interesting thing is that there's a lot of realtors, many of which have their license, but they're just not really getting much work. It's kind of a tough industry to be in, right, as an agent.
Yeah, at the end of January, there were about 1 million homes listed for sale and almost 1.5 million realtors, which is crazy. Yeah, and there just aren't enough homes out there on the market, you know, for all these agents out there to get a piece of the pie. And the thing is, too, most of the profits in real estate are going to a small number of agents. You know, if you thought about becoming an agent, like you might want to reconsider it because, you know, as someone high up in one of the brokerage companies put it in that Wall Street Journal article, they said that there is a low barrier to entry in terms of getting your license, you know, studying, taking the test. But the barriers to success in the field are actually really high. We know a lot of agents out there who stink and love their job. It's, you know, they enjoy it. They find a lot of fulfillment in it. And I totally understand why. But, you know, if you're looking to get into the business because the barrier to entry is low, just know that there's a lot of work that actually goes on after the fact to make money in the business. And, you know, new agents in particular make very little money. And with more agents entering the field, entering the industry, it takes even more time and even more hard work to make it in this highly competitive business. And, you know, on one hand, we complain about it, but what we're also seeing too is just kind of the natural cycle. If there's an opportunity for folks will move in that direction. There are incentives, right? And so it's just kind of the market forces that we're seeing here at work. The supply was low. The demand for those realtors was high, and so it causes a lot of realtors to enter the market. But as we've seen that flip, I think it's going to cause a lot of folks to kind of reconsider whether that's something that they want to pursue.
Yeah, I think I saw that in the first 2 years of being an agent, the average earnings is $9,000 for an agent in a year. And it's tough to make it. It's tough to live on that little money. Granted, you're trying to build a business, but just know those first couple of years can be lean. They can be really hard.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to do a lot of work to succeed in that industry. Although it's a fun industry, man. That's something I've always thought about. Like, oh, that'd be fun to be a real estate agent. One, because I like people. I like homes. It just seems like kind of a perfect fit, something that I would enjoy. But
yeah,
tough industry for sure. Mm-hmm. Let's keep talking about real estate though, Matt. Like for folks that want to shrink their monthly mortgage payment, there's a way to do it.
Yeah.
And of course, I think a lot of people would be like, yeah, I'd like to pay less. How do I do it? Well, recasting your loan is going to be the way to make that happen. And some people should consider doing a recast instead of refinancing. And recasting, Matt, doesn't get much press. So most people don't know what it even means. But the Washington Post just wrote an article about it this week, and we think that it makes sense for some folks. Basically, recasting, if your lender's up for it, is when you pay a lump sum towards your loan. Your loan term doesn't change. So let's say you have 20 years left on your mortgage. You still have 20 years left on your mortgage. Your interest rate doesn't change. So you're not doing a refinance. But what changes is your monthly payment amount. So recasting is nice if that lower payment is something that you really, really want. Although it can also make sense just to make a lump sum payment to the principal and keep your payment the same if you can still afford it. You'll pay off the mortgage a whole lot quicker. You'll pay less in interest over the life of that loan. But if a lower payment is what you're after and you've got some extra funds on hand, ask your lender about a recast because typically, unlike a refinance, recasting your loan is fee-free.
Yeah, and the closing costs associated with that refinance are typically what keep people from wanting to move in that direction. And, you know, all of these methods, too, it's worth pointing out here, they assume that paying off your mortgage is a top priority when you have extra cash on hand. And especially, man, you know, given the insanely low rate environment that we're in, aggressively paying off the loan on your home is, you know, we think for most people, not the best way to handle extra cash on hand. And so instead, we'd recommend for folks to invest more for your future in tax advantaged accounts. That can often be better, you know, for the tax break that you get now, but as well for your future returns that you're going to experience over the decades. I know some folks want to try to eliminate their mortgages as quickly as possible, more from an emotional standpoint. But again, especially because rates are so low, it is worth actually looking at the numbers, crunching, you know, doing the math, figuring out, you know, where it makes the most sense and where you should be putting that money.
Yeah, so recasting is an interesting consideration. Just paying more towards your mortgage and paying it off more quickly is an interesting consideration. But I agree with you, Matt. I think that it is more of a low priority. And that's what we talked about in our Money Gears episode. I think that was episode 302, is really something that is only of importance once you get into like Money Gear 7. Once you're really, really ramped up and you're doing a great job investing, you have like no debts. A lot of people do prioritize paying off that mortgage and they do it wrongly.
That's right, man. We've got several more stories that we're going to get to right after the break, including one about some additional student loan forgiveness. We'll get to that one plus a couple others right after this.
Friday flight day. We got more stories to get to. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff in the news and it impacts your money. And Matt, we like to take a ludicrous headline of the week.
Oh, that's right. We forgot to even tease to it.
Every single week. Well, this one's interesting. And this one, a listener sent this one our way. So, and by the way, we like to do a ludicrous headline of the week every Friday. And if you come across just an interesting financial headline, something that seems a little wackadoodle,
something crazy,
send it our way, howtomoneypod@gmail.com. And hopefully we'll include it in next week's Friday flight. This one came from listener Gary, and the headline is from the BBC. It says, fake Elon Musk giveaway scam costs man 400,000 euro. And it's just a really sad story, actually, of a guy losing a ton of money by following a link from a fake Elon Musk Twitter account that actually replied to a legit Elon Musk post. So the guy had like the same thumbnail image. And so it looked, if you didn't see the at username, it looked like it was Elon Musk replying to his own. And it was like, go here and, you know, check out free, you can get some free Bitcoin if you click on this link.
Yeah, that's definitely a tactic. Because you see the initial, you know, tweet by somebody, say like Elon Musk, and it's got the blue check mark. It's the actual account.
Yep.
And then, you know, if they reply to that tweet, it looks like a continuation of that thread. It's like, oh, also here are some additional thoughts on that,
right?
And that's exactly how he fell prey.
Yeah, and he clicked the link to the Bitcoin giveaway, and basically it was like they were purporting to double the amount of Bitcoin. Like if you give 10 Bitcoin, you're going to get 20 back. And so he was hoping that he could double his money quickly.
And he went all in.
Yeah. Unfortunately. So attempting to double his money in just minutes. But it was, of course, too good to be true, as this German man found out. And he lost $400,000 in seconds.
Yeah. It's pretty ludicrous. Also incredibly sad for that dude. But, you know, he's not the only one to lose money to scams. Scams have really been on the rise, and consumers have lost $56 billion to identity fraud last year, according to a new study from Javelin. Identity fraud is getting more insidious, and scammers are just stealing more money via, you know, some of these direct contacts, like this Twitter scam. So the best advice that we can give is to just not click on links that you don't know, and don't respond to unsolicited calls or emails. And you know, in this guy's case, I think in the story you talked about how it was pretty late at night, and we would recommend for you to not make major financial decisions late at night, you know, as your brain is starting to power down for the night. It's a time of vulnerability, I think, and so it's smart to avoid things like that. And it's also another reason, too, why having these apps on your phone that allow you to buy and sell and to trade and to buy Bitcoin, you know, essentially on a whim, how that's not something that we would recommend. This is one of the reasons why, like, I personally have a Robinhood account, but I do not have that app on my phone because I don't want to be tempted into constantly checking it. I've got to actually log in on my desktop computer in order to do that. So figure out what barriers and what kind of margin you need to, yeah, keep you from making some unwise decisions like that.
Yeah. One other thing it makes me think is never give somebody your phone. Like, I think sometimes that's actually another scam I've seen around, is that people be like, oh, can I see your phone? I need to call somebody. I'm stranded or something like that. Hmm. And you wanting to be the nice person, you hand them your phone and they pretend to dial the number and talk to somebody. But what they actually do is they jump into your Venmo account or your Cash App account and they send themselves money.
Ooh.
And you have no recourse to get it back, typically. And then two, I think, Matt, high-pressure tactics are something else to be wary of. There's a utility scam that's happening around the nation right now, and we can put a link to an FTC briefing on this in the show notes, but people are calling you and telling you that you haven't paid the power bill, and if you don't pay them immediately over the phone, they'll shut your power off, and it incites a panic in you. It's a high-pressure tactic to get you to pay money quickly, and that's what they're resorting to, is that emotional reaction that you're thinking with a different part of your brain than you normally would be, right?
Yeah, the kids are on the Zoom call, they're virtual learning, and you're like, no, like, we need power.
Right.
Well, and especially, too, they're targeting businesses, because, like, if you're a business and you're busy, right? Well, I don't know how many are these days, but, like, imagine a restaurant pre-pandemic times. They've got a whole restaurant full of people, and they're picturing power going down. Like, that is a terrible situation.
Right.
And so small business owners particularly take note here.
Yeah, when you get a phone call like that or link in an email, don't click the link. Don't directly respond to the people that called you. Instead, hang up and call the company directly or go directly to the company's website. And never, of course, give your banking information or your Bitcoin to anyone online or over the phone. I know, like, I think sometimes we read these stories or we hear about these and we're like, man, that's one person who made a really dumb decision. But I think we can all potentially fall prey to some of these things, especially, you know, in emotional moments, which a lot of these scammers are trying to put us into, or even just using your good nature, your kindness against you in order to steal your money. But let's move on, Matt. Let's talk about cars for a second. And you know,
our second favorite form of personal transportation.
That's right. Not as nice as bikes, but they do in some circumstances, right?
It'll do.
Yeah. But interestingly enough, the product that experienced the most inflation this past year was used cars, to the tune of a 17% average increase in price in just 7 months. So if you're in the market for a used car, you're going to pay more right now because prices have risen a lot. It's bad news if you're buying one, but on the flip side, there's great news if you can get rid of a car in your life, which we suggest you attempt to do. We think a lot of people could get by with having one fewer car, and especially in the new work from home environment. And Matt, you know, our family became a one car family recently, because of a lifestyle change, right? We're working on out of the basement, and that just means I don't have to commute anywhere, which is nice. Well, or it's a half mile commute, right?
Which
isn't bad.
Which you normally bike or walk, depending on your mood, I guess.
Yeah, and which is like really nice. I'll say. But part of the reason, too, that we sold the car was because of this uptick in prices. The Nissan Leaf that we had was a nice car, but it had kind of pitiful range, to be honest. And so, yeah, this car really was losing value quickly. But for a minute, the price went up, and we wanted to take advantage of that. So we got rid of it, sold it to Carvana for a nice chunk of change. And I think a lot more people, if they thought about it, could take advantage of this moment right now and get paid more money than they thought their car was actually worth.
Yeah, most definitely. And yeah, on the note of cars, Consumer Reports, they just published an article about our collective worst nightmare when it comes to automobiles, which are potholes. And I say collective, dude, because AAA estimates that potholes cost us $3 billion in damages every single year. I think we've all experienced a pothole ruining our day.
Yeah, been there.
Yeah, you've been there. And specifically too, man, like I don't think we talked about this on the show, but I had to replace some tires on our van a little prematurely. The reason I needed to do that was because of damage to one tire in particular, from pothole damage. Basically, like what happens when your tire slams into a pothole, you know, like there's these metal bands in your tire, and a significant impact can either weaken or snap some of those metal bands, and it's something that you may not notice right away, right? Especially too if it's just kind of like not a terrible pothole, but it's something maybe you hit every day on your way to work, say. But over time, that spot gets weaker and weaker, and eventually you'll get a bulge. It causes your tire to become unbalanced, and it's not something that you want to fix because the safety of the tire has been compromised. So all that to say, we want you to avoid those potholes and that $3 billion every year that folks are forking over. And of course, the way you do that is make sure that you're focusing on the road. Make sure you're not messing with your phone. You need to make sure that you're slowing down as well, because if there's a pothole, you want to make sure that you can easily avoid that. And when you swerve, maybe to avoid that pothole, you want to make sure that you don't crash into a car next to you, because you know, that would be kind of self-defeating if you're trying to avoid a pothole to not ruin your car, but then you end up crashing into another vehicle.
Yeah, don't do that.
That would be terrible. And so that takes, you know, like situational awareness, essentially. Like you need to be aware of the cars around you. That way you can make a small move like that, a small little maneuver without completely wrecking your vehicle.
Yeah, Matt, a couple other ways that you can do something about the potholes in your area too that are causing much consternation would be to report them to the city. And so like our city has 311, and I know a lot of cities have 311. You dial 311, you report where the pothole is, and you know, oftentimes it's just that the city doesn't know that it exists and they don't come out to fix it because of that. And so yeah, a crew will typically come out in order to repair that pothole. So report it there. There's also sometimes, I remember there was a guy on a local TV station. They literally called him the pothole guy, and you would report your pothole, your terrible pothole to him, and he would call the city on your behalf. He'd like get some media attention about it.
That's funny.
So I don't know if other cities have a pothole guy. But
I thought you were going to say that he just shows up and does it himself. He's like your local Ron Swanson, where he shows up with some cold pour asphalt and tamps it down for you.
Hey, I mean, I guess you could like utilize your own little asphalt army too in your neighborhood and start repairing your own potholes. But yeah, potholes are the worst, and they can cause major tire damage and just like a lot of frustration. It's like the worst feeling to hit a massive pothole.
Yeah,
and you're like
rocks your whole vehicle.
Exactly. Yeah, it like makes you want to grit your teeth.
Man, let's talk about student loans. You know, we touched last week on some student loan forgiveness news. How taxes are going to be waived on student loans that will be forgiven in the next 5 years through relief programs. Well, the Biden administration has granted new relief targeting folks that attended for-profit universities, and roughly 72,000 borrowers are eligible to receive around $1 billion in loan cancellation. This is called the Borrower Defense to Repayment Program. And what's really important here is that you have to prove that you were defrauded or misled. So, for instance, if the school you attended, if they lied about job placement after graduation, or if they lied about promises about like what you would earn after graduation, that's the type of activity where you might be able to qualify for that loan forgiveness. We'll link to more info on the Borrower Defense Program over at studentaid.gov. They've got a page set up over there.
Yeah, and if you went to a for-profit university, it's not going to be all that hard to prove that you were defrauded or misled, because a lot of those for-profit universities were using some pretty shady tactics to try and attract students to their schools. And be patient, but persistent as well, because the Department of Education is a little overwhelmed these days. But like Matt said, we'll link to where you can apply for that forgiveness. And speaking of applications, Matt, the most selective schools have been inundated with applications with students who want to attend those schools. And they're having to delay admission selections because some of them are seeing like 30 or 40% more applications overall. There's just a lot more to wade through, right? And this is really a problem in particular with like Ivy League schools and other highly selective schools, because they've waived their typical SAT and ACT score requirements this year. And so a lot more people are like going to give it a shot. They're like, well,
why not? You know?
Yeah, they might have figured that they didn't have much of a shot if they had to submit their SAT or ACT, but without having to have a super ridiculously high SAT or ACT test score, they're thinking that this is their year to get into the school of their dreams.
Yeah, and interestingly, data from Common App, which is a standard application a ton of schools use, they show that even though applications were up 11%, the number of applicants only rose by 2.4%. So that kind of verifies what you're saying there, Joel, that more applications are being sent out, many of which are being sent to those more prestigious schools. It's definitely kind of an interesting experiment to see like what kind of students they actually end up accepting, what the class of 2025 ends up looking like. And actually, on that note, too, we'll talk more about college in the COVID era. And specifically saving money on college. We're going to have that conversation on Monday with the New York Times money guy, Ron Lieber. So you can look forward to that after this weekend.
Yeah, Ron's book has been many, many years in the making. A lot of research, a lot of personal experience. Ron is a brilliant dude, so I'm really excited to share that conversation with everyone on Monday.
Yes.
But we hope you have a great weekend, and head to our website, howtomoney.com, for show notes and links to some of the things we talked about for this episode.
That's right, man. So that's going to be it. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.